Well, hello there, guys and girls. This is Chip, and I am sitting in for the rant of a free trapper for Clint tonight. Clint is away taking care of a couple of things that he's been much needing to take care of for a while now. And so he asked me to fill in for him for a few days ago, and I graciously accepted the offer because I absolutely love hanging out with the listeners of The Rant and Trapper Radio. This is only the second time that I've actually hosted The Rant for Clint in his absence, but had a lot of positive feedback and several different emails and questions about what we had talked about last time I hosted. We talked about trapper ethics and some things that we all can do to kind of be aware of and that sort of thing that not only helps ourselves but also helps trapping in general. And so I had several requests to kind of elaborate a little bit on that, and that's what I thought I would do tonight for the rant. Now, having said that, Clint asked me, I think it was actually Friday or Saturday, if I could fill in for him. I said, sure thing. It's done air till next Thursday, and I'll be glad to. And I looked around, and all of a sudden, it's Thursday. So this will be a no-edit show, and it may be a little shorter version because just as soon as I stop recording this, I will upload it and go live with it immediately without any editing or reviewing or anything like that. So this may be a little rough, and if it is, I apologize in advance. So before we get too terribly carried away and get into the show, I want to take just a second and stop and send a big shout out to Alan at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan's a great guy, and he is the sponsor for The Rant of a Free Trapper. Without Alan stepping up to take the brunt and offset this cost with sponsorships, we wouldn't be able to bring this to you guys for free, or Clint wouldn't. It's not me, it's just Clint. So what he does, what Clint does, and what Alan and the other sponsors do for Trapper Radio, Alan's the only sponsor for The Rant, and we just tip our hats to those guys. Alan, if you don't know who Funky Trap Tags and Supplies are, they're actually an older company that they're based out of Iowa. And Alan bought that company, acquired it. He also owns Hilltop Outdoors. They carry just about anything you can think of for trapping. It is unbelievable the inventory that these guys carry and the amounts of it. He can take care of you. He does a bunch of business on a little bit maybe non-conventional sites with, you know, with the trapping supplies. It's that time of the year right now. And when I say unconventional, he uses things like Amazon and Walmart and a host of other ones. And also, he has a website. You can look him up, I believe, is funkytraptagsandsupplies.com, or you can just Google him for sure, and you can find that. If you, for some crazy reason, can't find him there, search Hilltop Outdoors. They're sister businesses. Alan owns both of them. Alan is an absolutely fine, super guy to deal with. I know Alan personally. He's a personal friend of mine. And Alan, I know you're probably listening to this. I still got your two chairs in my camper from Nationals. I'll get those back to you next time we see each other. So I always look forward to the shows and the conventions that are just recently wrapped up. And we generally sit around the camper late in the evenings and usually cook something or pick on the guitar or just enjoy each other's company. And many of us dealers do. And so I really always look forward to that time. And Alan's just one of those good guys in the business that you can trust and hang your hat on. And he'll take care of you. It is fall. It is cool weather. I'm actually recording this in my office, but I've got all the doors open and the windows are open. And it feels great outside. I have been swamped, snowed under, busy. So I haven't started, but I've been thinking every single day for the last several since it's turned cool that I think I'm going to go, you know, set a half dozen or a dozen this afternoon. It just hadn't happened yet, but it is, we're literally hours away. Maybe tomorrow morning, actually. I think I got a window and I can go get some steel in the ground. So all across the country, from the north to the south, opportunities are out there. Some of the guys in the southern states haven't quite opened up yet, but most everybody's just within a very, very short few weeks. I know a lot of guys in the Northern states are already at it full swing. So guys, get out there. If you need some supplies, some lure, some baits, some traps, snares, anything along those lines, tools, whatever, check Alan out at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. And we certainly do appreciate him sponsoring the rant for us. Now, excuse me. Last time we got off into trapper ethics, and I had actually just had a permission that one of my favorite places to trap really laid out well. It was a high fence and caught a lot of animals, and I kind of had that snatched out from under my feet just a little bit, not from anything that I did, but from a fellow trapper, fellow brother. Kind of left a little sore spot, maybe a little resentment there, and I kind of ranted about that a little bit, and we went in and out of there. If you missed that, you can go back and catch that in archives, I think. So we covered a little of that, and over the next several days and several, even a couple of weeks, I have had numerous emails of asking me to expound on that, and kind of with the whole idea of this trapper ethics and what's cool and what ain't cool, because not everything out there, guys, is the right thing to do. And most of us know that. Sometimes it's good for all of us to kind of be reminded of that. I am not, just because I happen to be delivering this message to you, I'm not the trapping police. I'm not the popo here at all by any stretch. But I do think, like almost all the trappers out there, that I got a pretty good handle on right and wrong. You know, regardless of what it is, if it's business, if it's trapping, if it's hunting, if it's school, if it's anything, right's still right, wrong's still wrong. Most of us figured this out when we were 3 or 4 or 5 years old. And it's there. Sometimes it kind of gets forgotten a little bit. And I'm as guilty as anybody. Sometimes I need a little gentle reminder or nudge or kick in the butt, to be honest with you. But I think most of us know this. Very few folks out there don't. And So that's kind of what I wanted to follow up. So I've had several emails, and if I was smart, I would have pulled a few of those up and kind of read them and quoted them. But because I'm running so late here, we just finished up in the shop. I sent my guys home and grabbed the recorder and sit down to record. So I didn't have a chance to really prepare anything, zero notes or anything like that. So we're just kind of giving this a shot in the dark. But I do have some thoughts I wanted to put together. Several of those emails, too, in particular, were commented on the last time I hosted the rant, and they said, hey, why don't you go into and cover some things about trap theft and trap thieves? And so that's kind of what the bulk of this is going to be on. Like I said, it's very, very likely going to be a shorter kind of show because just kind of in a rush to get this out there. I don't want to leave empty airtime out there when folks are looking for the show to be up on Thursday nights. So let me start by saying this. I don't have a lot of experience with trap thieves. And the reason is I live in the Deep South. There are very, very few other people in this part of the state even that trap. Certainly in my county and the areas where I trap around, almost none. Many of you know I recently moved the county I moved from. I'm not aware of any other resident in that county that I lived in that, you know, that trapped, or if they did, that trapped anywhere close to as hard as I do, you know, with basically having traps out from fall all the way to the spring and trapping every single day, regardless of weather, regardless of calendar, you know, dates on the calendar, anything. There may be a handful of guys that I could think of that set over a weekend or something and pulled and that was it. But and nothing against those guys either, because this message kind of applies to everybody. But even where I moved to now, I know one other guy that obviously took my permissions, but I know one other guy that traps pretty hard, and maybe actually even one or two more in the county, but nobody that I'm really in competition with. It's not such a big deal down here as it is for really close friends of mine that live in different parts of the country, and trap theft is a huge, huge deal. Now, I do have some experience with thieves and that sort of thing, and not necessarily with traps. So I'm going to kind of kind of maybe parallel these two a little bit and kind of give you some thoughts on that. Just before I jump into this, I want to give a shout out to Kevin up in New York. Kevin had actually placed an order with me through ExpandPan yesterday, and we were talking, and Kevin told me, he said, "Hey, I really enjoy when you sit in and help out with these rants and with Trapper Radio in particular," is what he was talking about. And he said, "This is what my wife and I make us date night every Friday night for Trapper Radio." So I don't know that I've ever been included in someone else's date night. That was kind of a neat and comical moment there. So at any rate, Kevin, if you're listening, then there's a shout out to you. I appreciate the order and happy date night, I guess. Hope you get a kiss. So yeah, at any rate, going back to the trap thieves, there are a few things in life that I absolutely teetotally despise and have no patience for. I'm a pretty laid back guy. You know, I can be led pretty much anywhere. I can't be pushed very far at all. But I kind of take things as they come and try to roll with the punches. And that's kind of been the summation of my life for a long time. That's just kind of the way I'm built and my personality. I get frustrated a lot, but I seldom do I ever really get mad. When I do get mad, it can be a dangerous thing, and I just need to go somewhere and get along. But that doesn't happen often. I'm talking about once every several years that I truly get mad. One thing that can happen to get me mad is if someone steals from me. Even worse than that, it would be when somebody steals from you when you're doing something that's your absolute passion, like trapping. Here again, to my knowledge, I have never had a trap stolen, but I don't trap around other people. So that's a big thing. I totally get the part about having equipment stolen or having tools stolen or having anything else stolen. And I just can all but get furious about that just because that ain't cool. That's not right. You know, I think back and, you know, through my whole entire life, and I was probably my only experience I ever had with, I'm going to tell off on myself just a little bit, with stealing. I must have been 3 or 4 years old. It's one of my earliest memories that I can recall. I can recall stuff a little before that, but not much. And we farmed, and I would ride to the farm every single day with my dad. Single cab Chevrolet pickup standing. There's no such thing as consoles or armrests or anything maybe at that time like we have in most modern vehicles now, but I'd stand in the seat in the middle. If those vehicles had seat belts, then when they were brand new, they were tucked behind the seat when the seat folded forward and never to be seen again. Nobody used seat belts. Nobody wore seat belts. There were no such thing as car seats. But I would stand traveling and probably rode 100,000 miles as a little tot of probably a couple of feet tall standing there. And my car seat was my dad's arm. If he had to hit the brakes real hard, his right arm would come out and it kind of bend me double sometimes, but that's the way many of us of my generation grew up. And we stopped every morning. Our little ritual was a little country store close to where we farmed, and we would go in there. My dad would kind of have conversations and jihaw with the store owners. They were big buddies, and I would kind of roam around the store, and I remember that quite well. I don't even know if they still make this or not, but they had a candy called a Tootsie Roll candy. It was a little piece of chocolate, kind of a log-shaped thing, and little bitty, maybe 3/4 inch, maybe an inch long, and kind of rolled up and twisted on the sides. And I was eyeballing those Tootsie Rolls one time. It's about 3 or 4 years old. And I remember I wanted one so bad, and I didn't have the money, and I knew it was not right to take anything that didn't belong to me. But I unrolled that, and I ate the Tootsie Roll. It's not a sucker. I think they make some suckers called Tootsie Pops too, but this is a Tootsie Roll. And I ate that thing, and I slid the wrapper back under there, and I was so ashamed of myself. Well, I was smart enough, I knew what the result would have been if I let my dad find out, but this weighed on my conscience heavy. And here again, you're talking about a lad of 3 or 4 years old, and it bothered me so much. And I think those things were a penny, and they may have been 2 cents a piece was the retail price. And I never fessed up to it, and I should have. I should have faced my punishment and fessed up to it. But what I did, though, it bothered me so much that I came home, and somewhere along the way, I had a dollar or two saved up paper money, and I took a dollar bill. Of course, the next morning, we were the same ritual, and I slipped back there, and I slid that dollar under the box. The box probably had 150 two zeros in it. I slid that dollar under the box, and I'm assuming that at some point in time, the store manager found his dollar and put it in his pocket and never knew anything the wiser. That was my one and only time in my 48 plus years that I've ever stolen a thing in my life. And to this day, I still am ashamed of that and have regrets. So I don't, because that's my outlook, I don't have a lot of patience with somebody that's going to steal something. So you combine that with stealing something that's part of your passion. You work hard, you get permissions, you own a property, you do a lot of scouting. I actually did have a chance to get in the woods this morning and walk a couple of miles and scout on where I'm about to set here the next day or so. You've done all this homework, you've got a game plan, you know, season opens or you have the opportunity and you go, you set still, you're excited about it, and you come back and some knothead has stolen your equipment. Boy, I hear these stories every single year. I hear people even talking about, well, I'm going to buy and I'm going to use cheaper traps because I trap in a high theft area. And so I absolutely sympathize with you guys that are having to face that. I don't have the firsthand knowledge, but I have some perceptions of what I think I would do. And that's what I wanted to share with you tonight and kind of talk to you about, because I feel really, really strongly on this subject. And so I have a lot of thoughts on it. To go into those, the first thing I'm assuming is if you're stolen from, regardless of what happens, it is not your fault. Now, are there some things that you can do to minimize that risk? Absolutely. You know, when somebody comes and he takes something knowingly that's mine or yours, and he knows it's wrong, he's wrong regardless of what you did. If you're out there, you're legal, you're abiding by the law, you're where you're supposed to be, you've done your homework, you know, as far as the legalistic issues and all that kind of thing, nobody has a right to take your stuff, period. End of story. It ain't right. It ain't cool. So when you find that, the first step, I think, is look back and say, okay, well, or maybe even if you know you're operating in these areas, even though this is really the burden here is shifted a little bit. I mean, the burden of proof is supposed to be like, if you want to equate this to the legal system or the cops, it's supposed to be somebody has to you're presumed innocent. The burden of proof is on the accusing party. Well, this, what I'm saying is a little opposite of that. There's some things that we can do to preclude that situation from happening. One of these, and I have never pulled under a bridge that there's other people's traps set there. I know that a lot of guys in the country, that's the only option they have. If they're going to trap, that's what they're going to face. And so, that's good luck is all I can tell you. If you're in an area that you've got some options, I've got some really fine friends of mine, professional trappers in different parts of the country. I got a really good friend in Iowa. It comes to mind right now, and that's what he was faced with for years. And half of his equipment will be gone when he comes back. And it was, and it's easy for me to say because I don't face this, but around the campfire one night at a national convention, I think in New York several years ago, I asked him. I said, "Well, why do you keep sitting there? You know, if you're getting half your stuff stolen, you know you're sitting around trap thieves, and why do you keep doing it?" Now, that was my initial thoughts. Here again, don't get me wrong. Nobody should have stolen from him to start with, okay? But if he knows he's in that environment, and so what he actually wound up doing and what his remedy was is he was actually, and this was big coon country, raccoon country, and that's what they were trapping, combination of DPs and foothold sets. And basically, he got away from the craziness. He's quit trapping under the bridges. He followed the trails back up to the edges and to the fields and to the woods, and he would set further up the trails and out of the competition's way. So that's one thing is, you know, another thing is, you know, if you're trapping and you're accessing where you're at and you're having repetitive issues with your equipment being stolen, but your access is on a public road or public right of way where there's lots of traffic and people seeing you, that's just a little bit, nothing wrong with that at all. You're completely legal. When you do that and that's your only access, I get it. That may be the only way you can get in there. And I'm not saying that's wrong by any stretch, but minimize that as best you can. Instead of setting from, say, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. when the most traffic is there, and say you run out there, pop on your knees, throw in a set real quick, you're back up and you get lured, baited, and you're back in the truck and gone in 5 minutes. Well, how many vehicles can travel that road in 5 minutes during, say, rush hour time, even if you live in a rural part of the country, versus how many vehicles are going to pass there, say, from 9:45 till 11. You know, a lot of guys are and ladies are gone to work by then. I think a lot of this issue, there are some, sure enough, just thug thieves out there. And we're going to talk about those here in a moment. But a lot of the issues are people, I wonder what he's doing. And then it may be that next whatever, weekend, evening, whatever, they go check out and see what that guy was doing at the curb in the road, you know, past the old barn place or whatever the case may be. And so a lot of that is just the public being curious. And then when they get there, they may or may not know even what their equipment is, especially if it's more visible sets. So, for instance, things like we've been talking about that, my buddy in Iowa, John, and he uses a lot of DPs, but, you know, maybe that answer is to go to some more, you know, maybe you go back and start looking at your 1.5s or, you know, or your leg hole traps in that situation. If they're not as visible, you can't see those because they're buried or blended as much as you can a DB, DP or a body grip that's sticking up that's vertical, a lot easier to see. So when you're in these high risk areas, couple of things to think about right there is maybe you shift equipment a little bit to kind of hide it a little bit. I still think it's a shame that we've got to worry about somebody stealing our stuff. That's not cool. But it happens, and so that's what we want to talk about. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit more, and because, like I told you, I'm pretty laid back until we come to the few key issues that I just have no tolerance for, and thieves are one of them. So if this is me, if this is Chip, and I'm running my trap line, and all of a sudden I run across missing traps, it's obvious somebody took them, I immediately go into vindictive mode. I want to catch him, I want to shake his hand, and I want to put my fingers around his throat, to be honest with you. But we're not at all advocating any type of violence. I think I got a point I want to make. I want to save this for a few more minutes if I can remember to come back to it. But I want to deal with the situation myself. I want to talk to the guy. I want to figure out what it is. And we're going to have a really serious, sharp discussion if I can. The problem is, typically, he's not going to steal from you when you're standing there, you know. So how do you know he's there? I honestly believe that it is easier to catch a person, and I don't mean physically catch. I'm not at all advocating setting a trap to catch a person, that even if he happens to be stealing from you or doing something to create bodily harm, even though we may kind of think we want to sometimes. That's not what I'm saying. What I mean, catch a guy is find out who it is. I think most of us as trappers, if we can catch these animals, it's a little bit sad to say, but look at who catches the people anyway. And nothing against cops at all, but let's just say there's some good ones out there and some bad ones out there, and a person is a whole lot easier to catch. A whole lot. And what I mean by that, I mean, typically people are more predictable. They do the same things day after day. They travel the same routes day after day. Some animals do, some animals don't. We know we're trappers. That's what we read. So if we're adapt to reading the sign of animals, humans are a little bit easier, I think, than that most of the time. True, animals don't have the logic most of the time. But having said that, and then sometimes people will really think things all the way through or whatever. But typically speaking, and just using generalities, people are pretty predictable. And once you so say you got the thief out there, you know he's stealing from you. This is a repetitive thing. You start looking for signs, just like you would start looking for coyote sign, just like you would start looking for mink or otter sign. You know, especially utilize snow, utilize mud. You're looking for tracks. You start thinking about where. How does he access the same area? You know, I want to find out what vehicle he drives. I want to see his tire pattern. I want to know what boots he wears. I want to know, those are the things that I'm looking at, thinking about there. One of the biggest tools, and I think underutilized tools we have in trapping, for trapping and also especially for the thieves, is game cameras. That is a really underutilized tool for trapping in general, but especially if I had a guy that was stealing from me and it's a repetitive thing, dude, it's cameras getting set up. Setting up. And some of them are going to be real obvious and some of them are not. This is what I'm thinking I would do. And here again, I'm telling you what I think and not what I know, because you can really get in trouble here. So I want to make sure that I have this disclaimer out there. Let me get a swig of water again. I'll make sure I throw the disclaimer out there that this is my thoughts. This is not my previous actions, because I've not been there. But I'm thinking I'm going to bring four game cameras with me. And three of them I know exactly where they're going to go. One of them is going to be real obvious. It's going to be out in the open, and I'm going to have it on a stand. It's going to be real close to the set. And I want him to steal the camera. Wait, what? You want him to steal the camera? Yep, I want him to steal the camera, because we're also building charges against him. I told you it's going to bring four. Two of the other ones are going to be on the trail where he's coming in and out of. They're going to be hidden. This is kind of like my dirt hole game camera. It's going to be right there, easy for him to see. I want him to know he's being looked at. He's probably going to steal that. My blind set game cameras, I'm going to have two of those, and they're going to be along the trail or maybe where I think he's parking, but certainly where I think he's accessing in and out. I want this guy's picture. I want to know who he is. Here again, I want to go have a conversation with him. Well, you said you're bringing four game cameras. Where does the other one go? If you will go to the woods with your buddies, and I don't care if you're hunting or you're trapping or what you do, and just observe your buddy, not a thief, your friend. Just don't let him know what you're doing. Just make these observations. Walk through the woods. It's a great time to do this if you're scouting. A couple of you are scouting. You can do this with your wife or your kids or your husband or whoever. And just notice how much people, human beings, when they're walking through the woods, walking through fields, how much do we look up? Almost zero. Very seldom do we look above our line of sight, our vision. Unless something out of the ordinary catches us, or we see it in our peripheral vision, calls our attention to it, yes, then sometimes we'll look up. But just ordinary walking through, scouting, that sort of thing, and this is what your thief is going to be doing. He's not going to be looking up. Well, I'm going to have a camera, a game camera, pointed directly at my decoy camera. Yeah, the one that's right there to set, easy for him to see. It's going to be in focus, but it's probably going to be 20 or 25 feet in a tree. If that requires bringing a ladder in there, that's what I'm going to do. Sneaky, maybe, but you know what? I have no tolerance for a blank stealing from me. Zero tolerance. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to apprehend this guy. You know, the best case scenario here is build a case. If you call your game wardens, they can make a report. Guys, I'm telling you, there's some really good game wardens across the country, but the lion's share of them, most of the wardens out there are not going to exert a whole lot of leg effort to help you recover your traps. You're going to have to, or your equipment, or whatever the case may be, you're going to have to build the case yourself. Unfortunately, that's not the way it should be, but that is the reality of it. You're going to have to do a lot of this legwork. Now, when you can, you know, let's go through this process again. We've got traps stolen. I'm going to make a report. I'm going to call the game warden. Game warden may want to come out there, see where they were. I'm going to show it to him. I'm going to do all this stuff. And then I may not even tell the game warden this because loose lips sink ships. I don't want anybody to know. I'm going to do a lot of my own investigative work. I'm going to set these cameras up. The telltale of this is going to be the elevated camera. You know, chances are he's going to come back. He's going to steal your stuff again. He's going to see the camera. He's going to have a few words for you under his breath while he's taking that, and he thinks he's really getting that after you. But at the end of the day, you've got 50 pictures on the roll of him. Then I'm not calling the game warden then. I'm going to his office. We're going to sit down. I'm going to have the pictures printed. I'm going to insist on charges being brought. You know, the best way to handle this is through the system that we have. We don't have a great system, but we do have a system. That's what we've got to advise you to do, is follow the system. You know, is that exactly what I'm doing? Probably exactly what a lot of us are doing. Maybe not. But having said that, you need to follow the system. That's the best course of action there. So there's a couple of tools that can help you, there, the cameras are really, really a big one, and something that can, that elevated camera, I know a lot of people that utilize that for different things. Anymore, there's cameras out there. I know one of them is called a covert blackout. There's other models that are out there that have cell phone capability. That you can automatically, as soon as that picture is snapped, it sends you a text photo to your phone. And so there's some technology out there that you can know almost instantaneously who's there, who's not. There's also invisible photo eye counters that are basically trail counters that you can buy real inexpensively and set up. And we're talking about being forced to do this on our trap line because we got folks stealing from us. Guys, this is really poor behavior on some people. Okay, so what I started to get into a minute ago is, you know, I think a real healthy and very common reaction to this when you find that out is certainly disappointment, but almost even rage. And when that happens, I'm losing my train of thought because I've got about five ideas in my head at once. And this is the result of not having laid out notes and going through this. But I think the biggest of that is, this is somebody more than likely that's out there trapping. This is a quote-unquote brother that's doing this to ourselves. I mean, why in the world, as few trappers as we are, there's just a big disconnect how somebody could do this to one of our own. That's a huge deal. And so a lot of times the knee-jerk reaction may be, okay, especially if you're trapping in one of these high competition areas where you're having to parallel park to go make your sets, then if that's the case, well, I'll just go take his stuff. Well, guess what? You go take his stuff, you're a thief too. I went there. But he took my stuff. Yeah, he did. I get it. But if you turn around and you do the same thing, then you're a thief too. You're right there in the same exact situation. That's the way I see it, guys. Maybe somebody's got a different idea, a different opinion, but I don't think the right answer is to teach a thief by stealing from him. I think the right answer is to apprehend the guy. You know, let the law do what the law does. You know, let it cost him. Get your stuff back. You know, work with authorities to get it back, or you can handle it like we would in Mississippi, and we can take him behind the woodshed. But I'm not at all advocating that. So the next thing, I guess, and I kind of touched on it there, is we're all trappers. You know, if you're needing equipment, truly needing equipment, there's a lot of avenues for you out there. There's some cheaper stuff. Don't go steal my stuff. You know, don't go steal from your brothers. That's pretty low down. It takes a pretty sick and sorry individual to go steal from a fellow trapper. It literally makes my blood boil to know that somebody in our own tribe would do this, you know, to other people. Well, he's my competition. I don't care if it's your competition or not. He's a trapper. It ain't cool. Don't do it. You know, and you know, how do you handle it? Well, I think you do your own investigative work, and I think you let the authorities handle it. If it's done properly, you know, there's other things you can do. I kind of got off my train of thought there, but there's other things you can do. I mean, the cameras are certainly a real solution, and probably at the top of the list. You know, you can watch that area. You can find out when a likely suspect is coming through there. Change vehicles. You know, ride by there. If you think he's coming through there at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, right before you go to bed, get in your wife's car and ride by there. He's not expecting to see that. He may be looking for your trapping truck's headlights or whatever, but he's, you know, there's a lot of other things. Have a buddy go through there. You know, you got somebody that passes through there on a regular basis, get with them. Say, hey, look, I think this guy in his green Ford pickup has been messing with me. You know, I know you're traveling this route on your way to work. If you see a green Ford pickup there, would you give me a shout and just let me know he's there? That's all I need from you. Most folks will do that for you. So surveillance without having to actually stake it out is another avenue, another tool that you can do to, you know, to kind of address that. If you do have to go to the dummy sets, the dummy traps and that sort of thing to gather your pictures or help with your intel, then, you know, certainly that may be an area or a time that you want to use some stuff, maybe some broken traps or whatever. I'd rather if I got to be stolen from, I'd rather them steal something that's not as valuable as I would, you know, my brand new equipment or my more expensive stuff. So that's certainly a legitimate concern. But I still just think I see these people and hear these people talking about, well, I don't want to use the top end equipment. I know it would help my trapping. I know it's going to advance my catches. And I know that it's far superior equipment to what I'm using now, but I'm fearful for using it because it's going to get stolen. I don't understand that concept. One, we got to address the theft problem. I think that's the problem, you know, but you're limiting yourself. If, you know, if I'm afraid, what's a good analogy? If I'm afraid that a brand new car could get stolen, so I just force myself to drive a, you know, 1968 model Plymouth that's beat up and with fenders falling off of it, well, I'm kind of leaving a little on the table there. You know, I mean, I think the better scenario, the better thought process is to let's address the problem and let's fix the problem. And part of that comes with having real conversations in a forum just like this. And let's just talk about it. And maybe there's some you guys that do have this experience that can shed light on this, and maybe they can help other folks. This is what I've done. This has really helped. This is where we called a guy. This is what we do. You know, the next thing is, you know, I know we just got through with this whole Supreme Court justice craziness there, but that's not going to necessarily help us on a trap thief per se directly. It could indirectly years to come, but who do you vote for your county judge? Think about it. Get somebody that's sympathetic to the outdoors, hunting and fishing. They're the people that are going to be putting the fines on them. You know, where does your, you know, where do your game thieves go to court at? Who sentences them? You know, do you have contacts there? More things to think about right there. Think about it in the voting box as you, now you're talking about local level stuff. This is certainly things to think about. You know, and then the last thing is to police ourselves. And that's kind of where I was headed with that thought is, it ain't cool doing this stuff. I mean, we got to let each other know that. I think. I mean, you're stooping to about as low of a possible level of humanity if you're willing to take another man's property and absolutely just steal it, take it away from him. That's pretty doggone low. You know, I don't have a lot of respect for anybody that would do that. You know, even you come to the point that you're hungry, you're starving, there's plenty of people out here who'll help you out. You know, I'll help you out. There's a lot of people that'll help you out. But don't come take it from me. We're going to have a problem if that happens. So just a few things to think about, guys. I know we touched on it on the last rant, but I do think it's worthy of touching on it again. It's trapping season. There's a lot of things going on. We're proud of our catches. You know, part of what we have to do on most areas of trapping includes a dispatch. You know, it just does. That's part of the game. It may not be as probably the thing that I least enjoy, what I do. I love catching animals. Maybe that's why I'm a live market trapper, because I actually many times do not have to dispatch because we're selling animals live. But having said that, there are some times that I do, and that needs to be some respect. Here we go. We're talking about the trapper ethics again. Respect for the animal. You know, let's be as easy on him as we can, because I'm really, you know, I've got a lot of respect for the animals we catch. Even though he's going to get dispatched, it doesn't help anybody to be barbaric about this. Just think about it. The next step is, what do you do with that picture after you take it? Do you put it on Facebook? Put a little thought there. We got battles, guys, that are worthy of fighting. We got battles that we're spending tons of money through our associations and different things. We're fighting these antis. They're real trouble. Why do we want to create another battle on ourselves by showing some of these blood and gore nasty pictures online? It does not help anybody. Clean the animal up, or don't take the picture, or don't post it for sure. You know, just think about it. Some things that we can do ourselves to help our own cause here, you know, and not give the ammunition to these antis, because I promise you, that's the only people it helps. It certainly doesn't help us, but it does help HSUS. It does help PETA. It does help the people that are spending millions of dollars, and we hand them, you know, full magazines to shoot back at us that fit their gun. No, sir. That's not cool either. So here again, I'm not the trapping popo. I'm just giving you some suggestions. I love what we do out here. I absolutely am passionate about trapping. I'm just trying to shed a little bit of common sense ideas on some things that we can do ourselves to continue to enjoy what we do the way we're able to enjoy it now. We're already limited tons from what we were, even certainly when I started trapping in the early 1980s. We're limited more from what we can do now to when I was trapping in the mid-90s. We lost more freedoms and more privileges throughout the 2000s. We can help our own image here. We can help bolster this. And we can do things that present what we're doing, especially in the environment. I was going to end the show, but I'm going to touch on one more point. Especially in the environment that we're in now, where it seems like we're seeing an emergence in wildlife management, and there's such an opportunity for us. I've kind of felt like I've been playing school teacher with a ruler here, slapping a few folks on the back of their wrist, but let's talk about something positive we can do. You see, several years ago, there was not a mainstream NWTF. There was not a mainstream QDMA. You see these guys out there now, other Big Game Forever, other tons and tons of other of these people out there. And now all of a sudden, they're seeing the impacts and they're studying the impacts of predation on those species. So maybe a guy's a duck nut And maybe you trap in the prairie pothole region where a lot of this reproduction goes on, if it's even legal there when the ducks are nesting. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But if you're in front of a duck guy, you know, let him know the positives of what you're doing. Let him know what these egg eaters can do. Do a little research. You know, arm yourselves with the facts. That's what we got to fight them with. You know, and sometimes it's just educating our other brothers in a little bit different genre. So if you can get a guy that's really interested in ducks to understand that taking a significant number of predators out of the equation through trapping will positively affect his passion, which may be duck hunting. In the example I used, it could be turkeys, it could be deer. You could keep on naming examples of that. Then if that's the case, then that's a win. Now, did we win against the anti? Well, maybe not, but what we did is recruited another ally. He may not be a trapper. He may never own or set a trap in his life. He's a duck hunter, or he's a deer hunter, or he's a turkey hunter. But because we're helping him out with his passion, then we just gained an ally to help fight the antis with ours. Hopefully that makes sense. So, but hopefully that is kind of a positive end on a little bit of a you know, sour kind of show when we're talking about thieves and stealing. But that may be a little positive thing we can do for our own image out there. And I know I've been real successful at using that method to to basically to gain allies on what we do here. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Clint will be back with you here before too long. If you hang around till tomorrow night, if I didn't bore you too long, I'm going to bring you a really, really cool interview that I recorded just recently on Trapper Radio. I think it's going to be super informative. One of the lesser known legends out there. I had a chance to sit down and talk with recently and record a show. So that'll be up tomorrow night on TR, on Trapper Radio. And I appreciate you hanging out with me for this long. Like I said 1,000 times, guys, I love the opportunity to hang out with you. One of the most look forward to things that I do, because these people that are listening to these shows are the absolute salt of the earth, best people on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. I love having the chance to hang out with you. So until tomorrow and Trapper Radio, this will be Chip signing out for the Rant of a Free Trapper.
And I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. We tell our kids to just say no, and then some panty waist judge lets a drug dealer go. He slaps him on the wrist and he turns it back out on the town. But if I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up behind and let them swing till the sun goes down. Hey, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Now I'm the kind of man wouldn't harm a mouse, but if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. So don't go pushing me against my will. I don't want to have to fight you, but a darn show will. If you don't want trouble, then you better just pass me on by. As far as I'm concerned, ain't no excuse for the race.
raping and the killing and the child abuse. I got a way to put an end to all that mess. You just take them rascals out in the swamp. I put them on their knees and tie them to a stump. Let the rattlers and the bugs and the alligators do the rest. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today. People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's true. I'm for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man.
Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man,